greater glory to rain down. When family leaves me and I have great loneliness, he creates greater love. When your friends leave and you feel forsaken, he's a greater friend. I'm telling you, his greatness is unsearchable, and he is greater, 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 greater than your need. Hallelujah. That's why if you've heard me preach more than 10 times, you'll hear me say stuff like, when religion fails you. Because religion's going to fail you. Oh, help me, Jesus. You can put your faith in religion and it's going to fall and crumble every time. That's why you don't need religion. You need an experience. See, because religion doesn't understand how great he is. And you can sign a church card, but that doesn't bring the revelation that he is a way maker and a miracle worker. And you can shake a preacher's hand, but that's not going to change anything. But when you get the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, then you got a greater revelation of the greater God. I might have great pain, but I serve the greater healer. Whatever I'm going through, he is greater. God is greater. Because he is a great God. When you unveil his greatness, one layer, bishop, at a time. When you start peeling off the layers of the greatness of God, it's only a matter of time before he reveals himself in a new way, greater than he was on yesterday. God is greater. We see this pattern of God not letting himself be outdone in the very beginnings of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the God of unsearchable greatness, and he is constantly revealing himself greater than he was before. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep. And so we know him as a God of the things that are void and darkness. And we know him as that God, but then he begins to reveal himself, and he says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so we see God creating great things, and you don't get very far into the Bible. As a matter of fact, you only get 16 verses in, and you see the revelation that a great God creates great things. I'm going to preach this how I feel it today. A great God can only create great things, because you find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that he creates two great lights. And then he goes a step further and he says one was greater than the other. Bishop, if I get out of line here, you fix it and you just tell him what's right. But it is my own opinion that he created the lesser light first, because he is the God of unsearchable greatness. He continues to reveal his greatness. And so he would start with the lesser light and move towards the greater light. After all, why would the days be listed in Genesis chapter 1 as the evening and the morning? Were the first day, because God starts with the evening light and moves towards the morning light. They were both great lights, but the Bible says one was greater than the other. God said, I got to create this lesser light because I've got something greater in mind. Can I tell you today that when you got the Holy Ghost, he created something in you. He did something in you. But can I tell you that there is, Lord, there is greater than this than you can even imagine. God always starts with greatness and works towards the greater. God will take somebody that's got potential and give them more potential. God will take somebody that, Lord, that's got money and give them more money. God will take somebody that knows how to dance and give them a greater reason to dance. God starts in the great and works towards the greater.
Can I preach it today? We read about a man by the name of Abram.
Abram was, God was interested in Abram, not because of where Abram was or where Abram had been, but because of where Abram was going. Abram, come up out of the land of your father, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee. And here's the part that we skip when we preach the story, because we really like the blessing. But then he stopped and said, and I will make your name great. Abram, you're great right now, but greater is coming. Don't, oh, help me, Jesus. Can I tell somebody today, don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't be great because of where you've been or where you're at right now. Because I'm just going to give you a little bit of insight about God. God is not interested in where you are or where you've been. He's interested in the fact. He wants to know, are you willing to get up and come out of that place, out of the land of your father, into something that is greater? I know society told you that you have to follow in the footsteps of your father, but I want to ask you, will you come out of that place so that I can give you a great name? I know society said that you'd be an addict because your daddy was an addict, but you need to come out of the addiction because I have something greater. I know they said you'd be an alcoholic because your father was an alcoholic, but Abram, I'm not interested in where you are or where you've been. I'm interested in where you're going. I'm interested in taking you to a place where you walk in dominion, and I change your name and make you great.
I know religion in today's world has told you that all you have to do is just come to church, and God brings greatness out of that. So let me clarify something for you here today. That's not what I'm preaching. God never gives anybody greatness that he doesn't first call them out of the land of their fathers. You can't stay where you are and be great. Well, I feel like preaching this now. I'm going to ruffle somebody's feathers and make somebody good and mad. I don't care how good you are, you ain't good enough. How great you are, you ain't great enough. How strong you are, you ain't strong enough. How smart you are, you're not smart enough. How rich you are, you ain't rich enough. Because the greatness of our God is unsearchable. And no matter how much you think you can move things around because you're strong or you're rich or you're smart or you're this or you're that, God is that much greater than you. And so you've got to make the decision that I will leave the land of my fathers and I will come to where God wants me to be, because God wants to make of me a great nation.
I'm going to reveal myself through Abram, and I'm going to show how I make myself great as I make Abram greater. I'm going to show the unsearchable greatness of me, because I'll start with Abram, the man that's living in his father's tent, and I'll cause him to be Abraham, the father of many nations. And as I do that, I reveal myself, because I'll come as the little lowly carpenter. I will wrap myself in flesh and get all down where they live and show them that I'll start great. But when I get done on an old rugged cross, it'll be so much greater. And so understand today that what God did in Abram to Abraham, God is wanting to do in you. If you will come out of the land of your fathers, God will make you great.
I'm going to tell you what, I just know how it works in the Holy Ghost. I looked over here and see Brother David. He ain't been in church real long. How long you been in church, Brother David? A couple months, 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, something like that. He's been here a little bit. But he's been coming to this church, and I just keep looking over there every service. Brother David's doing a little bit more, and God's touching him just a little bit more, and God's touching his family just a little bit more. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One day you're going to turn around, and Brother David's going to be so blessed that you're going to wish that you could just sit on the same pew as him, because God's got a way of taking things that are broken and hurting and putting them together again and raising them up and saying, you were great, but I'll make you great. I'm telling you today, there's testimonies of doctors and lawyers in this house today that were broken when they came to God, but they came out of the land of their father, and God raised them up and made them great.
And there will be a nation, Abram. Nobody's going to preach about Abram, but everybody's going to preach about Abraham. Nobody's really going to, even when we preach about Abram in his Abram statehood, we call him Abraham because Abram's not who he is, because he decided to come out of the land of his father. And so he gets the word that there will be a great nation. And so what happens now is God puts Abraham's faith to the test, because you can't have greater miracles with average faith. Oh, I'm going to say that again. You can't have the greater miracles with average faith. And you see, you can't receive the greater of the spirit without the spirit of Babel, of Egypt trying to come in and steal it from you. Because the Bible says that after he receives the promise and he gets the revelation of who the womb of promise is, we understand that's Sarah, and we'll get on to some of that here in a minute, but we understand now he has a promise. He has a direct word from God. You and your wife, Sarah, will have a child. But what happens when the womb of promise has to go live in Pharaoh's house? Because the Bible says that Pharaoh looked on her, and all the men of Pharaoh looked on her and seen that she was beautiful, and they brought her to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh began to entreat her and to treat Abram. And it's hard to see your miracle coming to pass when your promise is sleeping in Pharaoh's bed. Torment will try to rule your mind when you are in the waiting process of the prophetic. But can I tell you that if you've got a great promise and the devil brings great torment, all you need to do is look at the devil and say, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, because my great God creates great things. And I might be tormented, but I still have great peace, because I know the God of unsearchable greatness. I still have great joy, because I know the God of unsearchable greatness. I still have a reason to shout and great praise, because I know the God of unsearchable greatness. And what do you know? Go read the Bible. It'll tell you that the Bible, it tells us that when Sarah went down to Pharaoh's house, that God plagued Pharaoh with great plagues. You see, you don't have to get worried when you start seeing great plagues, because anytime you see great plagues in the Bible, it's always right before a great revelation of who God is. And so, oh, help me, Jesus. You go look through the history of Israel, and every time there was a plague, God revealed himself greater and greater. Do you know where I'm going with this? And greater and greater. And so COVID-19 doesn't bother me, because every time there's a great plague, there's greater revelation that comes out of that. And so you can see where all through the Bible, God sent these plagues to bring God's people back to him. But as he brought his people back to him, they brought Babylonians back, and they brought Canaanites back, and they brought all these other people that eventually begin to worship the one true living God. And I don't have time to get into all of that. Not all of them did, but some of them would come out of Babylon, if you'll let me put it like that, and they would come to the knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I don't worry about great plagues, because I understand that the next step is great revelation of the great God of whom we know is unsearchable greatness. And so when COVID-19 happens, I started looking way back then in 2020 for a greater revival. Because I know that the God that causes great plagues brings great revival after the great plague, and he opens up doors that no man can shut, and he closes doors that no man can open. Abraham, nobody's going to assume that you'll be rich, but I'll take the great plague and I'll bless you in the middle of the great plague. And when you leave Egypt, you'll leave rich, you'll leave blessed, you'll leave greater
than you can. I'm telling somebody today, you don't need to worry about the Egypt experience, because you're coming out of Egypt greater than you went in. Because Abram, don't you forget, I am your exceeding great reward. I've got this in control.
Cool thing about God is it don't stop here. He keeps getting greater and greater and doing greater and revealing himself greater. Say, you're beating a horse to death. Well, I'm going to keep on beating him until we get where we're going today. So you just get your horse whip. Let's ride. Abram grows up to Abraham. And Abraham grows up and becomes a man of faith. And you see, he has a son, and he names him Ishmael. And this boy, we always talk about how he's cursed. The Bible didn't say he was cursed. The Bible says, I will make of him a great nation, and 12 princes shall come out of him. We talk about that, and we usually talk about it as Isaac, because we know where the promise is coming from, because God did tell him, Sarah, the womb of Sarah is where the promise is coming from. But understand, you've got to have an Ishmael in your life for God to show you that I'm not interested in great. I'm interested in greater than that. So you will have Ishmaels come and Ishmaels go, but you need to understand that behind every Ishmael is an Isaac. And behind, oh Lord, help me, Jesus, behind all the great is the greater. Behind the little promise comes the bigger promise. Behind the little blessing comes the bigger blessing. Because I want you to see that I'm never going to let myself outdo myself. Because as soon as I work something in your life, I'm automatically already working on something bigger than that for you to understand that I am the God of unsearchable greatness. I'm bigger than you think I am.
So we can talk about all the differences between Ishmael and Isaac, but it doesn't stop there, because Isaac grows up. And in Genesis chapter 26, when they describe Isaac, the Bible says that he waxed great and grew until he became very great. God took something great, Isaac, and made him greater. And then this same, it was in our text today, one generation shall sing praises to another generation. It's the same idea that continues from Isaac. Isaac is married, and he is with wife, and she receives a word from God. I'm just trying to give you the outline today. I don't have time to preach everything I want to preach, but she gets the word from God that there are two nations within her, and one is going to, and the older is going to serve the younger. And the reason is because I start with greatness and I work towards the greater than that greatness, because Jacob is going to do some things, but God never stops getting greater. And so Esau will be born. He will be the firstborn, but the firstborn is going to serve the younger, and he's going to walk in subjection unto the younger. Not because it's the way we think the older should get it and the older should do this and the older should do that. But God said, I know Esau's great, but watch this. I'm going to bring something into Jacob's life that is greater, because Esau is not a man that I can put to sleep on a pillow of rock and let him see the angels ascending and descending. Esau will be a man of the field. He will be a mighty man. He will be a great man, but he's not the visionary that Jacob is. And so we need to have the Esau experience in our life, where we wrestle down our flesh and we have to put our flesh under subjection. But after Esau comes Jacob. And when you get Jacob, you get the revelation, and you start seeing things in the heavenlies that you've never seen before. I know Esau's great, but Jacob is greater. And I know this flesh was great, but the spirit is greater. I know Adam was great, but there's coming a second Adam that is greater. God, I'm going to preach it to you. Get it all up in your spirit today. God is always getting greater.
Musicians, come. I'm not too far from being done. Jacob does great things, but God never stops getting greater, because one day there will be a woman sitting at a well. And the father of the great nations would dig it. They would call it Jacob's well. Because he was a great man, he did great things. But one greater than Jacob was showing up. And Jesus shows up. He shows up and he says, would you give me something to drink? And she starts saying, What do you have to do with me? The Jews usually don't talk to the Samaritans. And it was as if Jesus was saying, I'm greater than racism. So 2021, you can take a breath and you can relax a little bit, because I started this thing way back when, and I know that the racism's going to get greater, and we're going to have people that dislike each other because of the color of their skin more and more and more. But I defeated that way back on a little well when I looked at her and said, but I'm going to give you some living water. And she asked him the question. She said, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? And he said, let me tell you something, honey. If you drink of this, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of this water that I give you, you will never, 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 never thirst again. I'm telling somebody today, you've been drinking from the wrong well, because there is a greater well. You've been wounded and hurting inside because you've been drinking from the wrong well. And you go to church and church hadn't fixed it, and religion hasn't fixed it, because you keep going expecting the greater, but you only get the greater when you drink of living water. You only get the greater when you drink of the water that he gives. God, I feel good in the Holy Ghost today, because I want somebody to understand there is a greater, greater God in this house today. And that greater God that does greater things told us in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, greater things than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. I come to tell somebody today, God won't ever stop doing greater. If you seen a miracle yesterday, he said greater miracles. If you seen a miracle today, he said greater miracles. If you seen a breakthrough today, tomorrow you better get up looking for greater. Somebody shout greater. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty preaching. But there's no new thing under the sun. I don't know how God can get any greater, because there's no new thing that he can do under the sun. Honey, don't you forget, he made the sun. He's not under it, he made it. So God can do what he wants to do. And so if he wants to create a new kind of miracle, he'll create a new kind of miracle. I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen cancer heal, but I'm just telling you, I've been to some church services where people walked in and said the doctors don't even know what this is. They've run hundreds of tests and can't figure it out, and I can't get better. And all of a sudden, prayers made, and they get healed, and they go back to the doctor, and all of the symptoms are gone, and all of the aches and the pains are gone. You want to know, it might have been something that the doctor didn't understand, but it wasn't great. Than the greatness of our God, than the unsearchable greatness of Jesus. I'm telling you what I'm doing right now. I'm looking for greater revival. I'm looking for greater miracles. I'm looking for greater miracles and breakthroughs, because our God is a God of the unsearchable greatness. As we get nearer and nearer, stand with me if you will, I'm done. Nearer and nearer to the coming of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see greater revival because of a greater God. So how do you know that? Can I take you to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9? And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. I understand he was talking about a building, but you can go to the New Testament, and when they start talking about the temple, Jesus pretty much looked at them and said, don't you understand that one that's greater than the temple is here right now? Don't you get it that I never let myself be outdone? I just keep doing greater things. Can I have two more minutes? Just two. Romans 8 and 37. You see, so God is great, and he creates great things,
He has a great people. But he's not interested in just having great victory. He's interested in having greater victory. Because Rome, I wanted you to see this. Romans 8 and 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors. I wish you'd let that ruminate in your spirit for a minute and understand that you might have had victory before, but God said, I want to make you more than a conqueror. I'm not interested in giving you great victory. I'm interested in giving you greater victory than you've ever had before. So don't be afraid when you face the test that you've never faced before, because God's interested in giving you a greater testimony. And don't be afraid when you face things you've never faced before, because God said, I put the Holy Ghost in you, and the Holy Ghost is greater. And because you got the Holy Ghost, you are more, you're greater than a conqueror. So, an unsearchable greatness, God, creates great people that have a greater victory. Can you get me Psalms chapter 150? And verse 1, you see, so if you have a God that's always revealing himself as greater and creating his people to be greater and creating their victory to be greater, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Now, I want you to look right here at what this next verse says. Praise him for his might. We can do that. But then it gives us a way that we should praise him according to his excellent greatness. Brother Antoine, I know this is really simple, but this is I preach everything I preach right here to preach what I'm fixing to preach in the next 30 seconds. If God is continually revealing himself to be greater in the next moment than he was in the last moment, and we are commanded to praise him according to his excellent greatness, there should never be a service that you praise him less than you praised him the last service. Because he's greater today than he was yesterday. And if I praise him according to his excellent greatness, right now his greatness is greater than it was at 10 o'clock this morning. His greatness is greater than it was in 2020. So I am commanded to praise him according to his excellent greatness. However great my praise was yesterday, my praise should be greater because my God is greater. A great God creates great people that have great victory. And when they have great victory, they have great praise. I'm telling somebody today that you are my Katana. God is great and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. I'm telling you, you ought to take about 30 seconds and give our great God a great praise. However great he's been, make your praise that great. From this Sunday morning, you ought to just link up with your neighbor right now and pray till you're praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, find somebody that's talking in tongues and grab them by the hand and say, pray with me until I receive the Holy Ghost.
know he thinks I pick on him a lot, but he can handle it. My good brother.
I love it. I stand over there every service I get a chance and watch as my friend starts dancing across the front and cuts the front lip. And then if you watch me, you'll see me just kind of turn a little bit. Well, what I'm looking for is people that don't understand that a great God deserves great praise. See, cutting front flips in the church, it may sound funny to some and a little extravagant and a little crazy. You think we're crazy on Sunday morning, you need to come on a Sunday night. But it's a little, we don't do that in today's world. But what you don't understand, there's an old song that said, "You don't know like I know." And so my praise is not depicted on what your ideology of what God is. My praise is depicted by how great God has revealed himself to me. And so my new friend, Brother James, I looked back over there earlier and I seen his eyes get about that big around when he cut a front flip. I said, yep, he just got introduced to Apostolic Church. You know what that was, Brother James? That was just a man that God brought out of the gutter. That was just a man that God turned around. That was just a man that God set him in a solid place. And he said, I gotta give a great God a great praise. And so I do it in whatever way I can do it. If I can jump, I'll jump. If I can dance, I'll dance. If I can run, I'll run. Whatever I'm gonna do, I'm gonna do it with all my might, because God has been great.
Yes, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy. I'm gonna give a great God a great praise.
Lord, you're worthy.
somebody and pray for them. Say, God, make them greater. God, make them greater. Make them greater in witness. Make them greater in testimony. Make them greater in giftedness. Bring forth your greatness in their life, God. That's right. Bring it forth, God. Bring it forth. Bring forth greatness, God. Clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify Him. Praise God. Anybody want to see greater? When he met Nathaniel, he told Nathaniel, I saw you while you were sitting under that tree. Nathaniel just fell out and said, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. He said, you believe because I said I saw you sitting under the tree? You're going to see greater things than these. I really do believe the best is yet to come. I really do believe greater things than these shall you see. Just don't get satisfied right where you are. Keep an eye out for the greater. Keep your prayer moving in the direction of the greater, and understand He always saves the best till last. It's going to be a great ride to the coming of the Lord, church. It really, really is. It is so good to be in the Lord's house. Brother Phillips, we love you. Appreciate the word of God in the house today. Remember the Memorial Day fellowship this evening, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. God bless you.